Now open your Bibles with me to the book of John chapter 2, and I've been preaching a series of sermons called Send, and we've been talking about what it means to be sent. And the reason I did this whole sermon series was to lay down the theology of what it means to be a missional church, what it means to be sent to the four corners of the globe. So when we first began, I preached a sermon on being sent to declare His glory all over the world. We're sent as a church to take the message of the gospel to the four corners of the earth so that praise and worship will happen from the four corners of the earth. I know it's an interesting concept, but it's all through the Old Testament and New Testament. Then last week, I dealt with what it means to be a sent person. What does it mean to say, hey, I'm sent by God? I am a sent person. And I was saying these three things. They were just rolling off my tongue without any pre-thought. And that was, to be sent means I'm spirit-filled, because we're sent by the Holy Spirit. Number two, to be sent means that I'm missional, or it means that I'm on fire for missions and evangelism. So I'm sent and I'm missional. And then finally, the third thing to being sent is that it means I am multicultural. Because He said, you're sent by the Spirit, not just to this one location. He said, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we are Spirit-filled, we're missional, and we're multicultural. So whenever we go and launch another location, guess what? That location's going to be Spirit-filled, it's going to be missional, and it's going to be multicultural. Amen? So this morning, I want to conclude it with talking about the power of serving as a sent person. The power of serving as a sent person. So let's open our Bibles to John chapter 2, and I just want to read this old story, the first miracle in the life of Jesus. John chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour has not yet come. And His mother said to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Can we say amen? Amen. So just some historical notes about this passage. First of all, it's the first of signs in John's gospel. John's gospel can be looked at as a roadmap of miracle signs that Jesus worked, leading to revealing the identity of who He was as the Son of God, number one. Number two, just culturally, in this time in the ancient Near East, in ancient Palestine, wedding feasts were a big deal. Wedding feasts would often last several days, okay? And what we have happening here is right in the middle of the wedding feast, they have a problem. They're running out of supplies, okay? So in the ancient wedding feast, though, it was a big deal to be hospitable to people. And it still is in certain portions of the ancient Near, or certain portions of the Near East or Middle East. You know, a few years ago, there was this incident where this American soldier had lost all of his platoon in Afghanistan. They had all been killed, and he alone was surviving. And he made his way down into this certain Afghan village. And then there was a man and his family who took him in and protected him with their lives. They made a movie out of it. I can't remember the name of it right now. But anyhow, that family had taken him in because of their culture of hospitality. They would risk their lives to take care of this guy. That's the kind of culture we see in the ancient Near East. It's a picture, it's a window into the ancient world. that they would do anything to be hospitable. And hospitable didn't just mean, hey, I'm going to wave at you as I'm riding down Highway 343 in Camden. I'm actually going to take you in my house, and I'm going to house you, and I'm going to wash your feet, and I'm going to feed you. So it was a big deal. A wedding was a big opportunity for the family of each bride and groom, for the families to really show off their hospitality. Now, Jackie and I are just getting into this experience because next Saturday, Alex, the middle one singing here, that's my youngest, she gets married next Saturday. And I found out Friday night that my oldest is going to get married. Yeah. So I haven't talked to him about dates. Our only prayer is give our pocketbook a rest, man. Okay, so we love Axel and we love Brayson. Axel is who's marrying Alex this Saturday, and Axel has a very large family. They're awesome people. They're Filipinos and they're a lot of fun, but there's a lot. And so right now we're like at 200 and well over 200 for the reception. We're up, we're bumping against the fire code of the building where we're going to have the reception. And I realized all of you guys are invited to the wedding, but all of y'all ain't invited to the reception because I'm paying for that reception. That's my point. I just wanted to take a long way to get there. I don't want to be there and run out of Filipino luchon. Right? That's pig, right? How do you pronounce it, my friend? Lechon. I probably said something really dumb in Tagalog, but we don't want to run out. So, love y'all. This is what this guy was faced with. It's in the middle of his daughter's wedding, maybe. And he's running out of wine. And he's like, oh, snap, this is not good. So what do they do? Well, Jesus just happens to be there. So they go get Jesus. And then Jesus' mother comes up and says, hey, man, you need to help these guys. And he says something that's one of the difficult sayings of Jesus. And you can Google it and study it yourself. But he says, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet. You're like, man, was he just rude to his mother? And so you can read all the different interpretations of this, but one I think is it was a prophetic statement that Jesus knew an hour was coming for him. There was a time when he was going to enter into a passion. He would be betrayed by mankind. He would be crucified. And I think it's prophetically speaking to that. That hour has not yet come. Okay? But then she said, well, just do whatever he says. And I'm just going to give you two interesting facts about serving that I think will help you out. Number one is, just do whatever he says do. Isn't that the ultimate goal that we have in life as believers, that we just want to do what God has called us to do? Or maybe if you're not even serving the Lord in here today, maybe that's your desire too. You want to please God. You know there's an end coming, and you want to end up at the throne seat of God and say, Lord, I did everything I knew to do with what you gave me. Amen. Whatever he says do, go and do it. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, is riding on his way to persecute Christians. He's going there to imprison, to possibly kill Christians. He's a zealous Jew. He thinks he's doing right. And then he encounters the living Jesus on his way to Damascus. He's knocked off his horse. Scales come over his eyes and he's blinded. And then the Lord gives him an interesting calling. He says, listen, now you're going to go meet a certain man who's going to tell you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. Then later on, as he was called into ministry and went through trials and tribulations, he comes before King Herod in chapter 26 of Acts, and he stands before Herod and he says, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, I've done everything that I feel God has called me to do. I've used everything that I think God has given me to use. You know, everyone in here has a gift that they can use for God. Every one of you. Each of you has something that you can use for the kingdom. You may think, well, I'm an insignificant Hansen. I can't do anything. No. Hold on, man. You have stuff that you probably don't even realize that's in your heart that you can use for the master. You think maybe church is all about the preacher preaching. Listen, I just play one note, two notes. I preach and sing and play a little guitar and I do a few other things. I have a few things to offer. That's it. But all of you come around me and compliment those gifts. And when we all get together, we get something going on, man. We have something happening when we all combine our gifts together. And some people say, well, yeah, but I just don't feel I'm worthy to work in the church. I don't feel I'm not called. I'm not ordained. I'm not considered a minister. Listen. I think this is a misunderstanding. In the ancient church, there were offices that developed in the 3rd century, 2nd, 3rd, 4th century, and those offices were basically deacon, elder, and then priest, and then bishop, which became more of a historical thing later on. But that term priest became reserved for the person who administered the sacraments to the people, and they were the one who was kind of the doorway to God. So if you wanted to get to God, you needed to find a priest to get you to God. However, this became, you know, convoluted in latter centuries, and it became weird in latter centuries, and it became corrupt. And so there was a revolt that happened in the 1500s when some guys from Europe revolted against that, John Calvin, Erwick Zwingli, Martin Luther. And they revolted, and they said, hold on. We believe every believer can be considered a priest. We believe that every believer in Jesus can be called a priest. And they used the book of Peter to prove it. 1 Peter chapter 2, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through to Jesus Christ. So they realized, hey, that it's not just a certain elite class who can work for God, but it's everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. They can all work for God. And if you look at the Greek term and the etymology of the term priest, it's linked to the term for temple, meaning one who comes before God. If a priest is one who comes before God, then I'm telling you folks, I saw a lot of priests up here this morning coming before God and worshiping God. So if you are a royal priesthood and you're considered that in the kingdom of heaven, then you are already qualified to do anything that God has called you to do. Come on, you are qualified to do anything God has called you to do. He's calling you into this thing of the ministry. And we all work together. Read Ephesians chapter 4. We all work together. And we're given a key to how to grow a church in Ephesians chapter 4. And that is, as every ligament and every joint and every part of the body works, the body functions properly. And as each part in the body, each member, each gift, each priest, as you do all your job, the thing begins growing and it begins flourishing and it becomes healthy. Can someone say amen? Amen. So years ago, Jackie and I knew a great man of God named William Ward. And he became a friend to us before he died. William Ward was an amazing guy. But anyhow, he wrote a book years ago called Christian Cybernetics. And I love this little book. The term cybernetics simply means the study of guidance systems. So some of you Navy heads out there, maybe you worked with torpedoes. And cybernetics was used in understanding how to guide torpedoes. And that is, a torpedo would be launched, and then it would be fired to its destination, but the destination wasn't determined beforehand. Well, it was in a sense, but the path to the destination wasn't determined. So when the torpedo was launched, it would ping its way all the way to the target and hit it. And Dr. Ward said this, you and I, in working for God and doing things for God and following God's leading, act exactly like those torpedo guidance systems. We must first get started. And then once we get fired out, we'll ping our way into the exact thing God has for us. He used to say this, you can't drive a parked car. You can't drive a parked car. You have a gift, you're called to use it, but you can't sit out in the driveway. You know, my girls used to do that when they were little. They would get out in the driveway and act like they were driving. But you know how far they went? Yeah, they didn't go anywhere. But they had fun. I think sometimes we're like this. We come to church and act like we're having a great time, but we're really not getting anywhere. God is saying, now it's time to pull the car out of the driveway and start driving with the gifts and abilities that God has given you. Well, hallelujah. This leads me to my second thing, and this is the only other point I'm making today, and that is, start now and start somewhere. Where do I begin giving? Where do I begin sowing? Where do I begin serving? Where do I begin working? Start now and start somewhere. That's how you work into this thing. You must begin where you are. You must begin now, and don't delay any further. Hallelujah. Get in the car and start driving. If he says do it, do it. Get in and start moving towards your destination. You say, well, Pastor Hans, I have a passion for children. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Start working in the nursery next week. And we'll find out how great your passion is for children. Or I have a passion to visit seniors. Well, man, you know how we have several ministries that reach out to seniors every week. Jenny Underwood and these men and women go out and visit people in nursing homes and hospitals, and it's amazing. Mike Henley and his crowd do the same thing. Get involved with them, and it's amazing. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, just start the car. Just pull out. Just start driving and see where God will take you, and I think you'll be amazed in the end. You say, well, Pastor, I sing. Well, start singing. I'm not giving you a mic. But audition in front of some of our guys. Because a lot of people I found out think they can sing. I'm not going there, but I've been playing guitar in church since I was 16, so I've seen a lot. Hallelujah. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, start now and start somewhere. Start now and start somewhere. Start using your gifting. Start using your ability. Crank it up. Crank it up. You know, as you use a certain talent in your life, the more you use that, the more refined that becomes in your life. I see a couple right here that hangs drywall as a couple. And they're like unbelievably good at it. Okay, I hung drywall one time. Because as pastor of a church, you know, you got to do about everything. So we were building out a little space one time, and I helped hang drywall. No, I take that back. I did it at my mom and dad's house. I told them I'd fix a bathroom for you. I've messed around a little bit with this with an evangelist we travel with. Because an evangelist, you do everything too, right? You work on cars and you rebuild stuff. So I came home and I said, Mom, don't worry. You got some water damage. I'll take care of it. So I cut into the drywall, and I replaced the bottom half of that drywall. Now, every time I go to my mom and dad's, and I go to that bathroom, I look at the work I did, and it looks like this. And I thought, Hans, you should have done better than that, man. You know why? Because I was doing it once. I wasn't that skilled at it to begin with, but as you begin working in it, and you do that every day, and you have some natural ability, man, that thing becomes smooth as silk, and you start doing that like it's second nature to you. Amen. Same thing in the kingdom of God. You say, well, I can't speak. You know, we asked Kendall to open us up today. Kendall, that's Kendall Gunther. That's Larry and Denise's daughter. She's leaving for Bible college this week. And I said, girl, before you leave for Bible college, could you at least get up and say hello to everyone? And so she was kind of nervous. So you know what we did? We had her come in Thursday and practice. Practice saying hello? You better believe it. Then guess what? We had her come early this morning. We meet at about 7:30 in the morning. We had her come this morning. And guess what? Practice it. And you know what? She knocked it out of the park. Hallelujah. Get into it. You say, well, I'd like to witness to my neighbors. Well, try it. Just go try it. Just go start with where you are and just begin a conversation about spiritual things and watch what God will do. So say it with me. Start now. Start somewhere. Come on, one more time. Start now and start somewhere. You know, the most amazing thing about this little story in Cana of Galilee is this to me. When Jesus told those guys, he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Take the water pots and fill them with water. Now, these water pots were probably used for a ritual bath called a mikvah. And if they were used for the ritual bath, the ritual mikvah baths looked about like a modern baptistry you'll see in some churches. And if that was the case, then they needed a lot of water. And some say the water pots could have been this tall. So he said, bring the water pots. And then he said, now fill them all with water. And so I'm thinking, okay, if this is a mikvah, ritual bath purification pots, then they're going to fill the pots with basically bath water. Then he says, now go serve it to the headmaster of the feast. And so they take these pots and they start pouring out of them. And I can just imagine the guys are thinking, holy smoke. Here's this bath water out of these nasty old pots, and we're getting ready, really, to serve it at this big, fancy wedding gathering? You see, when we use what God has given us, we only see in the natural, really. And we think, God, how could I use what I have, and how could that bless anyone? Maybe you're afraid to pray for someone. And have you ever done this? You go and pray for them and you're like, I don't even have the words. I mean, I can't tell you the times I've gone to visit somebody and I'm like, Lord, you help me because I don't know what to do. Jackie and I were in a situation recently and we get ready to walk into this, to meet with these people. And we were just like praying, saying, God, help us, Jesus. Because we don't know. And then you walk in and you open your mouth and you say a few words. And it feels like you fumble and stumble through them, but then afterwards they come back to you and they say, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear at this point in my life. Why? Because God does a miracle when we start using our gifts and abilities. Here's what He does. He takes our feeble efforts, our dirty bathwater, and He pours it, and we pour it out, and when we start pouring it out, He sets His grace on it, and He causes a miracle to happen within the working of our ministry, and then on the other end, a lot of people are blessed, and a lot of people are touched. Somebody shout hallelujah in this house. Come on, give Him a praise in here. So I don't care how insignificant you think you are. When God touches what you have, it becomes His stuff. It becomes His property. It becomes His thing. It becomes His gift. It becomes His ministry. All you got to do is lift your hands in here this morning. Come on. You may say, God, I don't have much, but what I do have, I offer it to You. Now, God, You take it and You use it according to Your glory and Your power. You set Your grace on it, God, and You do something that'll blow people's minds. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And in Ephesians 3, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we have the ability which God supplies, and we have the power that works in us. That's what's doing the stuff. Hallelujah. 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 So I'm your biggest cheerleader, okay? Conrad, we recently did a youth revival as we did our summer revival. We'd never done that before. But I'm over here cheering. Do it, man. Do it, man. Come on, you can do this thing. And Conrad said, well, I don't really have all my musicians and I don't have all my band together. And I'm thinking, you can do it. In my best Nacho Libre voice. You can do it. And guess what they did? They did. Children, they had their revival thing this summer. I'm thinking, oh gosh, We got to take care of these kids each night. And we got to come up with a theme. And you know what? They did it. And it was absolutely amazing. Years ago, Charlie Ainge, Cliff Colson, and Alan Meads came to me. And they said, Pastor Hans, we want to have a wild game dinner in this church. And I thought, okay, man. What is a wild game dinner? They said, you know, we're going to have a dinner. And we're going to eat bear and raccoon and deer and possum. No, they didn't say possum, but but I wouldn't put it past them. And I said, okay. Okay. Can we win souls through it? Yes, I'm in. I said, I'm in. They said, let's do this. Let's give out tickets to all of our men's ministry guys. And let's have our men's ministry guys take those tickets and give them to a lost friend they have who hunts or fishes. So some of you were here back in those days. First night we had that, Tommy, I pulled up on the parking lot, and over in our Family Life Center we had the dinner. And we only invited guys that year, and we got really creamed for that. So next year we invited women. But I walked in with all those guys that first year, and when I pulled up on the parking lot, I saw, it looked like to me, acres of pickup trucks with dog boxes. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything. And then I walked into the Family Life Center, and they had deer carcasses, bear heads, a stuffed fox in a cage looking at you. And I walked into the Family Life Center, and it was absolutely packed, and everyone with camo, and it looked like a Duck Dynasty convention with all the long beards. And I thought, all right, Jesus, yes. And I sat down right in the midst of some of those guys, and I'm eating that stuff, and the guy next to me, he drops the F-bomb. Boom. I thought, yes! Yes! This is what I'm talking about. So what? I'm looking for some lost people to come here because God's getting ready to do a miracle as we use our feeble efforts to pour some water out. Come on, hallelujah. So what happened? We got this Baptist guy from Liberty University to preach. And he was sharp, man. He said, I'm not going to do a hard sell on these guys. I don't want to run them off. I'm going to talk about being a guide. So he talked about being a guide. He had been a hunting guide in Alaska, and he had showed pictures of hunting through Alaska. And then at the end, he's closing it out. And man, he lowered the hammer. He said, now guys, let me ask you something. Each of you as men are guides for your family. How are you doing with that? And he said, you know, if you've never accepted the Lord into your heart or you'd like to know more about following Jesus in a relationship with him, we have cards on your table that we'd like for you to fill out. I don't remember the number, but a handful of guys filled out those cards tonight to accept the Lord into their lives. And I thought, here we go. An old Appalachian boy like me showing up at this church, never been to a wild game dinner, and seeing these country boys come out of the, I can't say hollers and hills, they came out of the swamps and the cornfields and showed up and gave their what they knew how to give and poured out water, and Jesus walked into the room and took a hold of that feeble offering that we gave and changed some human beings' lives for all of eternity because of what we did on that Saturday. Come on, somebody. Can you give him a shout in here? Come on, can you give him a praise in here? Hallelujah! So don't ever be concerned about you're not good enough, and my gifts are not good enough, and the kids will hate me, and the people will not receive me. Hey, they didn't receive Jesus. Just use the gift you have in you. Start now. Start somewhere, and use the ability that God has given you, and you just watch. You watch Jesus step into the situation, and you watch Jesus take, somebody going to help me preach in here, and you watch Jesus step into the situation, and watch him do what man can't do. Come on, hallelujah. Last week we had a testimony. Trina Cooper gave it on Wednesday night that there was a lady who's a really friend of this church. She doesn't attend our church, she attends another local church, but they'll come for revivals and different things. She was diagnosed with 40 different spots on her brain, cancerous spots on her brain. And I had a family contact me a couple weeks ago, said, man, please pray for this lady. It's not looking good for her at all. I said, yes, sir. And the guy even asked me, can you give some scriptures? So I texted him some scriptures that maybe they could pray over. Then she started coming to healing rooms every Tuesday night and let the healing rooms ministers minister to them. Now I wonder if the thought came through the healing room ministers, Lord, is this really going to do anything? Lord, is this prayer really going to work? All I know is, Tuesday night, one of her best friends came to church and said she went back to the doctor, you healing rooms guys, and all 40 spots had disappeared. Disappeared. This is like at UNC or Duke. All had disappeared. I don't know. We just lay hands according to Scripture. And then Jesus walks into that act and He shows up and He does stuff that you and I could never do in our own abilities. Come on, somebody, hallelujah. He shows up and does things we could never do. My God. We're going to go, and we're going to a neighboring community, and we're going to start a church to win some people for Jesus. I don't want any church people coming. I want some drug addicts coming. I want some lost people coming. I want some alcoholics coming. I want some witches and warlocks coming. I want some divorcees coming. I want some ex-cons coming. Come on. And we're going to pour out our feeble efforts, and we're going to watch Jesus walk in to the midst and do something we cannot do. You believe that with me? Give Him a shout in here this morning. Come on, just give Him a praise. If you believe God's going to use you, hallelujah. Okay, one more thing. We're going to pray and we're going to close. We're going to receive an offering. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a funeral. I was listening to a sermon this week by John Ortberg. He's a Presbyterian from California. And he told this story, and I thought, man, this is too good not to tell today. He said that his grandmother was of Swedish descent, and throughout her life, at special occasions, some of the family would give her pieces of china as a gift. And so being Swedish, he said she was super conservative, and when she received these gifts, all she did is she took that china, she took it upstairs in the attic, she put it in a secure box and never used it. John Ortberg said once she died, the family went up in the attic and opened up this box and found all of this amazing china. It was from Germany, crafted in a factory that was destroyed in World War II. It was invaluable. And she had never used it. Now he said, the bad deal is my sister got it all. And she's using it like crazy. But he made this point, and I want to make it to you. Let us not die having our most valuable gifts sealed away in an attic, never used. Let's get out what we have right now. And let's use our gifts and let's use our abilities. Miles Monroe said years ago, the most wealthy place in any town is the local cemetery, because it contains dreams that have died with the people. Talents and gifts that were never used, dead in the grave. Books that were never written, songs that were never sung, sermons that were never preached. Let's don't leave out of here like that. Let's do like Paul. I've been offered up, and I'm ready to be offered as a drink offering. Just poured out. Everything just poured out. Come on, are y'all with me this morning? Let's stand on our feet. Father, we thank You this morning, God, for what You're doing in this service. I feel Your presence, God. I feel Your power right now. And I just pray for each person in here, God. Maybe something that was said, my feeble efforts, You're using right now to spark a fire in them. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father, for doing it right now. God, I believe people have had light bulbs coming on in here this morning, that this is what I need to be doing, and this is where I need to be going. Father, I just pray for them right now that you just ring their bell, stir up that gift, and let them start using it, God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed with me just for a moment here. Maybe there's some of you in here this morning who say, Hans, I hear what you're saying, and I love what you're talking about, but man, I don't even feel my heart's right with God. And I feel if he were to return today, I wouldn't be prepared to meet him. Well, you know what? I want to pray for you right now, right where you stand. This is just me, you, and Jesus right now. And if you need prayer, this is what I live for. I don't want you to leave this building till we pray for you. All you have to do is open up your heart, ask Jesus in. He'll come in right now, right where you stand, and he'll do an amazing turnaround, total makeover of your life. So if you need prayer and you want to ask the Lord into your heart and you want to fix your heart and get things right on the inside, would you be bold enough just to lift your hand right now just for a moment? Let me see it and say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe there's others in this room. Say, Pastor, just pray for me. I want to get my heart right with Jesus this morning. I don't want to leave without everything right with the Lord. Come on, everybody. Can everybody in this room pray with me? We're going to pray with about three people right now who are making this commitment. Folks, this is the greatest thing of this day right now. I'm telling you. Are y'all ready to pray with me out loud? Come on, you guys raising your hands, you pray it out loud, and God's going to meet you right where you stand. Come on, Father in heaven, I commit my heart to you. Jesus, come on the inside. Fix all that's wrong. Lord, I repent of all sin, and I turn from it today, and I turn toward you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for rescuing me, and giving me a new life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody can say amen. If you want to be used of the Lord, I want you to raise your hand in here this morning. Come on, everybody, just saying, I want to be used, Pastor. I want God to use me. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, for each person with their hands raised, God, I pray you use them. Lord, I release them, deputize them, send them forth as a great and mighty army today to go forth doing your will, working your wonders, God. Lord, I pray you put your touch on it. You put your grace on it and let it be turned into something supernatural. And I give you thanks for it right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And everybody can shout amen. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that he has for your life.